This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
We got Lauren Brownlow going to join us in about a half an hour. An hour from now, Luke Hancock will be on board.
Barker Bite as well in this hour.
Oh, cool. Excellent. And hopefully Kyle Guy is good to go with his dog. Steak, peanut butter, good to go. Lemonade ice cubes, another thing I want to throw in there. Summertime.
Lemonade?
Lemonade ice cubes.
Also, you pour lemonade in the tray and then freeze them.
For the hounds. Love it.
Really?
I love it.
Let me ask you this.
We got to get some calls to do.
I know, but is part of the food intake for Fuller based on what you eat too?
Have you just figured that out?
look, my man rolled over here.
There's two things the dogs are not going to get off of my tray.
Seafood.
Well, I don't eat seafood.
Right.
It'll never be on my tray.
Okay.
Number one, barbecue, because that's mine.
Okay.
And number two, bourbon, because that's mine. That's how it works. Everything else is pretty much fair game.
All right, let's go to calls.
Let's do it. Brian in North Carolina is leading the way. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good to talk to you again, gentlemen. It's been a while. Wes, did you just suggest that Pac-Man would let some dog to get to his barbecue? I mean, come on.
I did.
I mean, that's not going to happen.
That's a unforced error on my part, for sure.
Turnover.
So I want to get your guys' opinion on this topic, but think about this for a while. For years, I've always considered the ACC tournament champion as the true ACC champion for that year. Not everyone feels that way, but I'd like to get your opinion on that, and have a quick comment about North Carolina.
Well, to me, the regular season is a better barometer than somebody that can get hot for 4 days.
Yeah, the ACC got into a habit in the 90s, I think it was, of honoring both the regular season and the tournament champion. The automatic bid to the NCAA tournament goes to the tournament champion. I think it's 6-1 way, half dozen the other. You know, we've seen in the last few years coaches have a wide and varied opinion on the tournament and its value. And, you know, you can go back and point to the fact that, you know, ACC tournament champions have not won national championships. I mean, they grind through whatever it is to win the tournament, and then they don't make it to the final. They may make it to the Final Four, don't win the national title. 6-1 away, half dozen the other is my opinion, Brian. I don't know that. I think it's different for every school, and I think that opinion can change at schools. It is what it is at this point, and I don't think it's going to change from that respect.
I mean, when you have a double bye, I mean, how can you say the ACC tournament's a better barometer of the conference champion?
Right.
You have some teams that are basically – you have a team lose Tuesday night and be home on the couch watching the rest of the tournament before four teams even come
close to getting
the Greensboro to do a warm-up drill.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, to me, the regular season should be a better barometer of who's good and who isn't good as opposed to what happens over the course of 5 days in Greensboro or wherever the tournament happens to be held.
Right. What about Carolina, Brian?
Yes, so, you know, I have to say, you know, you guys can probably remember me from the radio days. You know, as a Duke guy, you know, a lot of me is loving this, that meltdown over in Chapel Hill. But I want to just say for the record that even I have gotten to the point where I feel sorry, not for the fan base, but for the player. It just seems like everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. I especially feel sorry for Cole Anthony because you can see that these losses and the losing just wears on him. You just see the frustration in his face, and I feel bad at this point.
Okay, thanks.
To each their own on that one. I mean, if that's how you feel, that's how you feel. We do this every year. Whether it be football, basketball,
baseball. Somebody's going to have a tough year.
Right. Somebody's in first. Somebody's in last.
Right.
I mean, I don't think any of us would have thought in a million years when we were back at the tip-off that North Carolina, which was picked second by the media.
Will lose 20.
Right. I mean, nobody thought that. I mean, even if you think, hey, worst-case scenario, guy, you know, breaks his ankle or whatever the case may be. Hey, North Carolina's got players, man.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody expected this. And I'll tell you who really didn't expect it was Roy Williams.
Right.
And that team. So I still think they are dangerous for a game. And that's why tonight, NC State, hey, you better have head on swivel, be ready to go, because as I mentioned earlier, Roy Williams has owned NC State. Yep. I mean, owned them.
Yep.
And they've already beaten you once in Raleigh. And there would be nothing better for North Carolina to sit there and go, hey, NC State thinks they're in the tournament. Cool, watch this. And are they capable of winning the game tonight? Without a doubt.
They've been capable of winning all these ones they've lost.
No doubt. I mean, so they could be a team that can threaten some people. I don't think they can win 5 in a row in Greensboro because they've not been able to put that together. They were 5-0 at one point in this season. Since then, they've lost 17 of 22. That's tough.
Right.
And you start talking about depth, injuries, having to play 5 consecutive nights, forget it.
Yeah.
But can they beat somebody on a given night? No doubt. Ask Duke. I mean, you know, we thought Duke
was the best. Ask Virginia. Ask Notre Dame. Ask litany of teams.
No, ask NC State because they've already beaten them. So North Carolina on a given night can be dangerous. I just don't think they can give you 5 straight nights, in my opinion.
I mean, they could turn Tuesday to Wednesday.
Sure.
Potentially Wednesday to Thursday if somebody doesn't. But continuity has been a big, big issue.
There's only 3 teams, in my opinion, that can win 5 consecutive nights.
Those are the 3 at the top?
Because they have the most depth.
Yeah, I agree. Totally.
So that's that.
Plus, what's Carolina's health going to be, too?
And their mindset. I mean, you know, that's the other thing. Even teams that are playing well. Louisville went through that tough week where they just looked flat and disinterested. Duke goes to Raleigh. Looks like what's going on with it. And no energy whatsoever. It is a grinder, man. This is a long season that started November, December, January, now February. We're going 4 months into a year. It's still a bunch of 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. It's not the NBA.
Right.
And, you know, so you're going to hit some spots where you just don't have it as good as Duke, Louisville, and Florida State are.
Yeah.
So that's that. Jamie in North Carolina is up next. Jamie, how are you?
Doing great, guys. How are y'all? I have just one thing to say, and this is for Wes, obviously. I think State has no chance of getting into the tournament unless they win the ACC tournament. I don't care if they win out. But there's a trend in NC State basketball, and Wes, you probably know this. Every game that you commentate, they play like babies. They're horrible. Mm-hmm. I can barely even watch them.
Well, guess what? I got the last 2 at home.
Crickets.
Saturday night against Pitt and next Friday night against Wake Forest. So if it's on me.
is Jamie still there?
I think Jamie may have
been. Is he gone?
I don't know.
No. Right. So he's basically saying there's a broadcaster curse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. That's up there with the luck rankings. Got to be honest with you. If you think the outcome of games is determined by which broadcaster shows up, you might have a problem. You may have a problem. Let me rephrase that. You do have a problem. Come on, man. It's got nothing to do with anything. It's like the luck rankings. Again, you make plays, win games. Got nothing to do with who's in the booth.
I actually wanted to hear what Jamie had to say.
Oh, my God.
I was really interested where he was going with it because I knew what he was going to talk about.
Well, I mean, when you make the comment, I don't think NC State, they have to win the tournament to get in. If the tournament were today, they're in.
Yeah, they're in.
If it started today, NC State's in the dance. So, I mean, come on. It's too early for this nonsense.
It's meat pack.
Yeah, who knew?
Yeah, well, you know.
The West Durham curse.
That's it.
Who knew that existed?
Yeah. Now, tonight?
By the way, what is your record doing NC State games?
Basketball?
Out of curiosity's sake.
This year?
Yeah.
They haven't won any.
Oh, so you are 0-for.
No, they are 0-for.
Right.
With me, yes.
Right. Okay.
And I have 2 left.
That's got nothing to do with it.
Yeah. At Clemson, Louisville at home, Saturday against Florida State, and I have Pittsburgh on Saturday at noon with Malcolm, and then the following Friday night with Paul B. and Cardi in the regular season finale against Wake Forest.
You know, it's almost as stupid. It's almost as stupid as what I heard yesterday when people started making a big deal out of Joe Burrow has small hands. And I'm thinking, yeah, well, those small hands threw for 60-some-odd touchdowns and almost 80% completion rate. Patrick Mahomes even chimed in and said, yeah, I got small hands too. I just won the Super Bowl. I mean,
why don't you ask Brownlow at the bottom of the hour if this is on me?
People look for stupid things. Hey, if your team plays well, you got a chance to win. If Markell Johnson plays well tonight, NC State's got a really good chance to win this game.
C.J. Bryce plays well, they got a chance to win. And Funderburk and Manny Bates play well.
It doesn't matter.
They'll stop for ice cream on the way home.
It doesn't matter if Wes Durham is sitting right there at the Dean E. Smith Center in a comfort of home with Clifford climbing all over him. It's got nothing to do with it. You got to play well to win games. It's got nothing to do with announcers or referees or we only win on odd days on full moons and all this other garbage. It is. People come up with the strangest stuff. Hey, just go play well, man. I mean, seriously, come on.
I thought we'd get one of those this week. I just didn't know when. Oh, that's awesome.
And, you know, I'm sure there's somebody, and is somebody out there watching or listening to us? I suspect that there's somebody out there that has a chart of such stuff, like when West Durham does games, when we're at home.
Oh, by the
white.
Way, they lost at Boston College, too.
You keep piling on.
Just telling you.
Somebody will send us something that they keep a chart.
Well, Joe Giglio did the legal pad a year ago
of
me doing games, and they weren't very successful.
They being NC State?
Yes, sir.
You know what? If you did a lot of NC State football games this year, you probably didn't see many wins.
Guess how many I did?
Well, I don't know.
I did one.
Did they win or lose?
They won.
Well, how'd that happen? They went 4-8 or whatever it was.
So there you go.
Come on, man.
This is awesome. Maybe this can be Embarker Bite, too.
Oh, great.
Late ad. All right, when we come back.
I'll tell you what. I feel right now like Chester does on that leather chair.
You want to go with me? You want to go to Raleigh? You want to go to Raleigh for Saturday at noon? Come sit with me at the table so you can be looped into that,
I really
too.
Don't. I have no interest in that whatsoever. I'll be
Packer. That's Packer's fault.
Yeah, you can blame me. I don't care. I simply do not care.
What about feet on the floor?
Yeah, what about feet on the floor? We get you over there, feet on the floor in Raleigh.
Well, the Hornets stink. What's their record when we're there?
1-0.
All right. Just saying. You think NC State wants us feet on floor? By the way, are you feet on floor when you do a game there?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Right there at the midcourt stripe.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
All right, a little bark and bite, I understand, right?
That's exactly right. And for that, we go to the HQ, Packer and Durham headquarters, in the Constitution State. Josh Macri on the left. Drew Brooks looks like he's just seen a ghost on the right. You all right?
They were asking me a question. I just had to make sure I could listen to both of you guys at the same time.
Well, not everyone can be as olive-skinned as me.
Bogey.
That's right.
First of all, I wasn't here yesterday. Let me acknowledge.
We acknowledge that you weren't here yesterday.
Nice
you were on assignment.
Yeah, I was on assignment. Nice comeback by the Orange on Saturday against the Jackets, Macri. But you could not stop.
It was a nice win.
Could not stop Moses Wright.
Woo, what a day he had.
By the way.
Scoreboard.
Yeah.
By the way, Josh.
Yes, sir.
Were you buying Anisha's breakdown of Syracuse's chances for the tournament?
Wow.
I like Anish, and I enjoyed having him on the show yesterday, but he's a little bit more optimistic than I am.
He was much more optimistic than you, and he did a great job. He's always a good he's a good dude.
Anish?
Yeah, I met his wife, by the way, yesterday.
Faye, who used to do the brackets.
She came down the driveway and was looking for the hounds after the show.
They have the little one with them?
No, she was at the daycare.
By the way, we haven't addressed how nervous Brooks is getting ready to be here in the next 10 days to 2 weeks either.
Arizona State's on the roll, man.
I know. And a big weekend coming up for the Sun Devils.
Mm-hmm.
How about Mike Bray telling me that, oh, you know, Arizona State's going to play UCLA and USC this coming week. That'll be a big week. Because Mike Bray's looking at the bubble too, UCLA. Or is it Arizona that play? It's the exchange of Arizona-California this weekend, I think, in the Pac-12.
Arizona State's hot, man. Yeah, they're actually in first place, technically, in the Pac-12.
Yeah, Bobby Hurley doing some doing some nice work.
All right, okay.
All right, ACC Network. Here we go. All right, guys.
We're trying to help the Pac-12. I had a guy send me a note the other day. Said, I wish the Pac-12 Network had a show like Packer and Durham. So we're just kind of spreading the love for the Pac-12.
That's all we're doing. Just helping them out a little bit. That's it.
I mean, when it's been since 1997, since you cut down the nets in the championship, the least we could do is give you 2 minutes of airtime.
Yeah.
Well, so speaking of that, today being Billy Packer's 80th birthday, that call was phenomenal.
Simon says championship.
No, Jim Simon. Said that. Jim said that. Simon. Said
Billy didn't say that?
No, Jim did.
Nance did.
Happy birthday, Billy.
Yeah. You know what Billy said?
What? It's over!
Billy did say that.
It's over!
Okay, bark or bite.
First one, fellas. Bark or bite. North Carolina State will win one of the two remaining games with West Durham on the call.
That's a good one. Can we get Jamie to call back in and break that down? Who are the games against again? I'm sorry.
That'd be Pittsburgh next Saturday at noon.
Is that home?
It is at PNC Arena. And the following Friday night, one of the two Friday night games. Paul Biancardi and I will be there for Wake Forest and NC State.
Bye. Thanks for listening, Pack.
Bye.
Right, since I'm doing the games.
Oh, you're pulling the Herb Street.
I'll give you a key.
There you go. There you go. All right, guys. Next one, bark or bite. The ACC will not have a number one seed in either the men's or women's NCAA tournament.
Ooh, I knew this was coming.
That is a good question.
Man.
You know what?
I don't think they're going to get one in the men's tournament. I don't, because I think here's the problem. I think Kansas and Baylor is so good, they're both going to get ones.
I agree with that.
And then I think San Diego I think Gonzaga is going to get a one.
You don't think they're going to lose again?
No. That game the other night was big time.
I talked to Mark Pope yesterday, the coach at BYU. He was so confident. They had a Midnight Madness kind of deal leading into the game.
Yeah.
He told the students to practice the storm court.
Really?
I've never heard that before.
Mark Pope now, former Wildcat, wore the cat scratch jerseys at UK.
I'm going to be optimistic and bite and think that maybe Louisville gets a one seed.
I'm Bark.
Being optimistic and barking?
Yes.
Okay.
I think the ACC has a better.
Les is barking. I'm biting that we're going to get one.
Well, right, but the question is that the ACC will not have a number one seed. So you're barking at that.
I'm barking then.
On both sides.
I think the ACC is going to get one.
Good grief.
Okay.
Do I need to re-explain the rules of this game to you guys?
Probably to him you do.
sir, can I have just one ice cube? One ice cube. Yeah. Thank you.
I think the only chance the ACC will have the way it's shaping up is Louisville on the women's side.
That's what I just said.
And I'm not sure that's going to happen.
I think the ACC's got a shot on both sides. I'm not going to discount it yet. Only because we've had so much volatility. I mean, listen, number 1, 2, and 4 lost over the weekend.
Right, I know.
And I do agree with you, though. Baylor and Kansas are really good clubs.
And they're going to play themselves to 2-1s, and they're going to give Gonzaga and San Diego State the others.
San Diego State, I'm not sold that San Diego State's going to hold on to a 1, given a loss now. And what's coming down. I mean, if Duke runs the table or Florida State runs the table.
Kevin White's not in the room, Mark.
I understand he's not in the room. But San Diego State's resume is not going to blow me away. We'll see. I'm going to be optimistic.
All right.
But I think Louisville women have the best chance of all the – if we put all the ACC teams in.
I agree with that.
Jeff Hall's club, I think, has the best chance to be a one seed.
Totally agree with that. Okay. We continue.
Let's see if the optimism continues here. Bark or bite. Carolina will finish the regular season with more than 20 losses.
Bark.
Keep in mind they'd have to lose out for that
Bark.
To happen.
That's not going to happen. North Carolina's not going to lose out. They're going to win at least one. At least one. Not so that I'm not so sure they're not going to finish 500 down the stretch. So I'm going to bark on that one. There's no way they go 0-4.
Yeah, I'll bark. They're not going to lose 20.
And then they're going to win 5 straight in Greensboro, right?
I will bet that a year's salary they don't win 5 straight in Greensboro.
Okay.
Fair enough. Wes, anything to add?
No, I'm with him on that. I think that there's a chance they can win 2 of the last 4, but I think that they win 1, they're going to be fine. I think they'll win potentially Tuesday in Greensboro, too.
Could.
Depending on who they draw, because they're going to be within earshot of whoever they play. That's the beauty of where this is now. It's not that broad a list. It's somebody you've played, and more than likely in their case, played close. Because they played everybody close.
But they've just been unlucky.
Yeah. according to KenPo.
All right, guys,
I've never heard of a team in last place receive more attention for being unlucky than this year's North Carolina. In the history of, since I've been doing this stuff, there's never been a last place team.
Well, you've never had somebody who was picked second in the ACC at 15. You had them, I mean, Georgia Tech in 1996-97 won the ACC at 13-3, and the next year without Stephon Marbury and Drew Berry, they were picked in the top two or three and finished last. They went 13-3 to 3-13. But this is historical in terms of the drop. So I think that's part of the reason. That and the fact it's the brand name.
Well, the brand is no question about that.
All right.
Sticking with our Pac-12 network on ACC network theme, Washington is actually in last place in the pack and is also unluckier than North Carolina. They're dead last in the country in luckiness.
And guess who one of their wins is against? Baylor.
Opening game. Yeah. There you go.
Lucky night.
Yeah. There you go.
Anyway, bark or bite, Clemson will shoot better than 50% from the field tonight against the Jackets. They shot 69% against BC, and they're shooting 43% from the field for the season.
Clemson shoots it better at McCamish than you think, by the way, historically.
This is a Drew Brooks special.
Yeah, it is.
You know what this is? And this is going to be a golf analogy. Every time you tap in on a Thursday for 64, what's Friday look like?
81.
Just to me, this is a golf analogy.
Yeah.
I mean, the Tigers are playing really well. And, you know, they beat up Pittsburgh on the road. They've beaten BC on the road. They took Louisville to the woodshed. And they really have had terrific success against Georgia Tech. They beat them 5 straight.
Yep.
But over 50%, I don't think so. Could they win a game? Yeah. But I don't think they'll go crazy from the field.
Full disclosure, Wes, I can't say I spent a lot of time thinking about how Clemson shoots at McCamish, but thanks for enlightening me.
Yeah. I've done enough of them.
Yeah.
I've done enough of them.
The Georgia Tech fans don't want you doing games either?
Nah.
Is NC State the only fan base that's got it out for you not to do their games?
Georgia Tech might be okay because they won the only basketball game. They beat Boston College at Conte Forum with me.
So there's no other team. To my knowledge, this is all new to me, of this curse thing. Is NC State the only one that's got the curse?
I think right now they're the ones on the list.
All right.
All right, guys, a couple more. Bark or bite, the champs will make a Sweet 16 run this season.
You know what? I'm going to bark, and I hope I'm wrong, but I just think the inconsistency to score against good teams especially could come back to haunt you. Their defense is out of sight, and if they shoot it like that, they're going to make a run.
Yeah, they're going
to. I just need to see more consistency.
I'll bite because I do believe that they're going to see somebody in the first round who's, you know, the coach is going to sit there and talk about it, and somebody's going to be excited as a 7 and so on and so forth, and Virginia will make them play to about 26 or 28 points with about 4 minutes to go, and then the panic will set in. And then in the second round, I can see them getting somebody. You know, I can see them knocking off somebody who we think is a top 25 team because, in reality, tell me if you think I'm crazy. I think they've made the most improvement game one to game 20, whatever, in terms of what they were at the beginning and what they are now, especially at the offensive end of the floor. They're shooting it a lot better, significantly better than they were at the beginning of the year.
Just need to see consistency in the tournament.
They still guard you.
No, the defense I don't worry about. But, you know, Joe Lenardi, if I'm not mistaken, had both Virginia and Duke here. Had them in Greensboro. Had Virginia and Duke in Greensboro. And if it worked out right, I think Virginia was ending up being hooked up with Maryland in the next game. If I'm not mistaken.
I'd take some of that.
I'd love to see that game.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That'd be fun. All right.
I think the other one was Ohio State and Duke or some crazy like that. Again, you know, bracketology.
Yeah.
Do what you want with it.
Last one, guys. Bark or bite, Louisville's Dana Evans is the most important basketball player in the ACC, men's or women's.
In the ACC total.
Total.
Wow.
I'm going to bark.
I'll bite that. Look. Every time they play really well, she plays well. I think she will be the most important player going forward for sure.
I'm gonna bark like crazy on this.
And I will add this too. I think she might be the most important player, and the second most important player in the league also might be on the ladies' side. Alyssa Kuneng. Because when she plays well, NC State plays well.
How about Markell Johnson?
You're chasing the fan base this one.
I am not. I'm just telling you, when Markell Johnson's good, ask Duke. When Markell Johnson's bad, ask a lot of teams. I think NC State rolls with him.
Okay. I'm going Dana Evans.
Okay. Well, did we agree on anything in that segment?
Did we?
I don't think we did.
You agreed.
We agreed Clemson wouldn't shoot. We agreed Carolina wouldn't lose 20.
You didn't verbally say it, but you both agreed that the ACC will not have a number one seed. You didn't understand the rules of the game. So you said different things, but you actually agreed on the topic.
Sir, I'll have two glasses with one cube, please. Two.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Luke Hancock comes up here in about a half an hour or so, get his take on what happened last night, games tonight, of course, and we got more for the Power Hour. Georgia Tech ladies are taking care of business, playing themselves right into the dance.
Trying to do a lot of things here on Billy's 80th birthday.
Yep, Billy Packer.
Billy right behind you every day, by the way, with Al McGuire from an old Inside Sports magazine article.
Yeah, well, I'm going to come back to that. During the break, I was just sitting here reading something, which I want to make a point. But we'll get to that maybe 9:45 because we have a package to open.
Yeah, we got a gift. We got stuff in the mail yesterday. Lauren Brownlow, who wears a variety of the proverbial hats, joins us. WRELsportsfan.com, the Panic Room with our buddy Joe Ovius, an SB Nation podcast also available, and ACC podcast, like ACC podcast. But nobody captures the emotion and the momentum of State Carolina. Look at the eyes like Lauren Brownlow. Okay, so Pac, you want to start here with
Well, I want to start with, where's the dog?
Where's Stella?
She's relaxing right now. She finally chilled out after the high stress moments of like, what's happening in my house right now? Why are you setting up a camera? What are you doing? Who are you talking to? Yeah, she's tired herself out.
Peanut butter will do the trick.
Peanut butter. Okay, 1 to 10. Who's more anxious tonight, NC State or Carolina?
Oh, that's easily NC State. I mean, Carolina at this point, what are they going to do? Lose another basketball game? Like, at this point, they're on their longest losing streak since 1951. I think they tied that streak, or they could tie that streak tonight. That's what it is. They could tie that streak tonight if they lose yet again. So, I mean, all they have to lose is yet another basketball game. It's not like they're going to the NCAA tournament at this point. Like, there's nothing that they necessarily have to lose, North Carolina fans. NC State fans, on the other hand, yeah, I think if they'd won that game against Florida State, I think that puts them in a little bit better position where maybe this game doesn't mean quite as much to their NCAA tournament hopes. And it may not end up meaning that much for their NCAA tournament hopes, but I think they would have felt a lot better about not needing to win this game if they were able to get that other quadrant one win against Florida State. And as it stands right now, I don't know that they want to flirt with getting swept by the Tar Heels with the season that the Tar Heels are having.
Lauren, quite frankly, North Carolina and Roy Williams have owned NC State. I mean, and I, you know, it is what it is. I mean, they've won 31 of the last 35. I think Roy's 36-4 in his career against them. I kidded around with Wes, and when we had Garrison Brooks on, I said, dude, next time you guys go on a slide, just go schedule NC State. Because every time light blue sees red and white, man, the Heels actually play pretty good.
Well, unless it's Louisville, I guess. But yes. It's a weird thing. And Roy Williams has talked about this before. And I think NC State fans have a strange relationship with Roy, too, because they both love and hate Roy for the fact that he understands this rivalry and hates them as much as they hate him. He hates NC State because he grew up in the 70s when NC State owned North Carolina, and he grew up having to hear about it from all of his friends in the mountains and everything else. So he grew up hating NC State. And with the way that these two programs have gone in the last, 20 or so years, I think their fans really love and appreciate the fact that North Carolina has a coach that understands this rivalry and that really dislikes them. I think they wish he maybe just disliked them a touch less so that he didn't make it quite so personal.
It's interesting. You mentioned where NC State is. And this is the part tonight that, you know, I almost said this about, I did say it against Carolina and Duke the first time, that if Carolina won the game, no matter what happened the rest of the way, they would still have the Duke win, right, Pac? Remember, we talked about that. And then the game ended up being this unbelievable, epic deal. I almost get the feeling tonight that if Carolina were to win the game and NC State were to make the NCAA tournament, that no matter what happened, NC State fans would not be happy because they got swept by Carolina, Lauren. But if Carolina wins, they'll be like, you know what? We've had a bad year. Bye. We swept NC State again.
I mean, they have to find the positives where they can get them, right? So, yes, if they were able to sweep NC State, I think that they would, in hindsight, be like, great, at least we were able to do that with this tire fire of a season. Whereas I actually do think NC State, while, yeah, they don't want to get swept by North Carolina, I do think, and I got this sense from just the State fans I talked to, that very, you know, begrudgingly, they were sort of like, look, we want to make the NCAA tournament. That's the priority, especially after last year and the way that everything happened. So I think they sort of feel like, look, even if we get swept by North Carolina, just get us into the tournament, man. Like, we just need to make the NCAA tournament. Like, would it be, you know, would it be annoying to hear from all your friends that you got swept by this team? Sure. But at the end of the day, you just got to make the tournament.
Lauren, you know, when Markell Johnson plays really well, so does NC State. I mean, is that game tonight as simple as that for the Wolfpack, that, you know, if the leader at the point plays terrific, NC State's going to be just fine? Or is this going to run a little bit deeper than that?
Especially after the Duke game, I actually tend to think it kind of is that simple. I think that they get a lot of their cue from the way that Markell plays, even though they have a lot of pieces on that team that can step up and have big games in their own right. And they don't need Markell Johnson to do everything. But I think that when he's not on, in the sense that he's not playing well, he's turning it over, he's making poor decisions, it doesn't really matter how well he's shooting in that instance. But when he's not engaged from the point guard perspective, that's when their overall play sort of drops off. And so I think that's what they need from Markell. And when they haven't gotten that from him, yeah, they're kind of a different team. And I do think he's very important to them in that way. I think that actually, in a weird way, having Cole Anthony will be a better thing for NC State in this matchup, because that's a name that I think he will see and will interest him, you know, going opposite him. We saw that with Duke and Trey Jones, and I think that we're going to see that tonight too.
I was getting ready to add the Cole Anthony factor into this tonight, Lauren, because I think the one thing you look at with Markell and Cole Anthony is Markell's interested tonight. He knows, yes, that if he plays well against Cole Anthony, it kind of helps his value too, and certainly thus helps NC State. But I want to go back to the inside here for a minute, because for all the C.J. Bryce and all the Devin Daniels talk and Jericho Helms, more often than not, when D.J. Funderburk and, to a degree, Manny Bates play well, NC State also plays well. We have no idea. I'm going to guess Garrison Brooks is back on the floor tonight. Armando Bacot he's been okay. But D.J. Funderburk, to me, is just as valuable tonight and maybe the rest of the way as Markell Johnson is in respects.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, I think that those two guys, among them, had 4 rebounds, I want to say, against Florida State. And that's not going to get the job done against almost anybody. But North Carolina got pushed around on the glass without Garrison Brooks against Louisville. That's not something, that's one thing they've actually done well this year is rebound. They don't always score off of their offensive rebounds, but they get them. And I think that was something that factored in big in the first matchup between these two, was North Carolina's ability to sort of dominate on the inside, both scoring wise and on the glass. And if that happens again, NC State's going to be in a world of trouble, and D.J. Funderburk and Manny Bates are going to have a lot to do with that. So, yeah, I think that the play of those two offensively and then a little bit defensively, obviously, because I remember Jericho Helms was sort of matched up on Garrison Brooks at times, and that was a very bad matchup for NC State in the first time. So they're going to need to get some things figured out defensively, because I do think that Garrison Brooks probably finds a way to play tonight.
Lauren, as far as the radio show goes tomorrow, what is a better story, North Carolina winning or NC State winning?
Oh, that's a tough one. Look, I think that if State wins, it would almost just be like a relief scenario, right? Like, of like, woof, you know, finally we did it, you know, because it makes no sense logically, having watched these two teams play and who they have on their rosters, that North Carolina would get the sweep of NC State. I know that this college basketball season hasn't made a ton of logical sense, but that makes no logical sense. So for that to happen again this season and for them to still not be able to get over in North Carolina with the season that they're both having, I think that would definitely cause a lot of angst, which I suppose, depending on how you look at it, makes for interesting radio, if nothing else. But I'm just at a place where I need some things to make sense in my life right now.
Peanut butter, Stella.
Wait, where's Stella? Come on, let's get Stella. Get Stella on the show. Come on, let's be honest. We're all about the, come on, where's Stella? Come on, grab
there
Stella.
She is.
There's
there
Stella.
We
go. Oh, look at Stella.
Nice.
Nice. Look at the ears, Pat. This is our kind of it. Lauren can come do an hour here and bring Stella.
Bring Stella.
Why not?
We got Stella. Yeah. We got a Stella across the street that Fuller is in love with our Stella across the street. Stella kind of likes Chester, but Chester has no interest in Stella.
Yeah, Chester.
So we got a little triangle going on across the street with our Stella.
Ooh.
Yeah. All right. Here's the last thing for you. You and I are going back and forth in discussions about first team All ACC. Have
yes.
you made Packer? By the way, sources tell me Packer may be asked to vote on All ACC.
Not doing it.
I know you're not, but they're going to inquire.
They don't have to inquire. I'll look them right in the eyes on television and tell them I have no interest in doing it. How about that?
So Brownlow, have you decided on first team yet?
I feel like John Mooney, Vernon Carey are my no-brainers. They have to be there. I think Trey Jones has seemingly played his way on there at this point. It would be tough to leave off Jordan Wara, although he did sort of have a little bit of a rough patch, but he seems to have righted the ship a little bit. Elijah Hughes probably has a pretty good case. It's really Devin Vassell is the guy I really want to put somewhere.
From Florida State Trent on this team? Forrest. Huh? Trent
Vassell
Forrest.
Is the guy.
Devin Vassell.
I love Trent Forrest. Vassell is a guy I feel like you got to put on there somewhere, but then it's just like, who do you take off? It's tough. Vassell is so, so good. It was cool to see him go into kind of takeover mode last night. But they're such a, the way they win games, and I love Trent Forrest too, and he's very, very important to them. They're such a team oriented group that I think they might suffer a little bit from that in the sense that, you know, they maybe won't have a guy that sneaks onto first team just because, you know, some of the other seasons the guys in this league are having, but, yeah, I think that's sort of the group that I think you're looking at. A Florida State player, whoever you want to put, and maybe those two will split some votes. Mooney, Carey, Elijah Hughes, Wara, and we'll see.
And Stella with the toy.
Stella, yes, yeah, Stella.
With the toy.
Stella's definite first number. Yeah.
All right. Lauren Brownlow, the podcast available on the SB Nation feed is ACC Podcast. And, of course, you can follow her on WRALSportsFan.com, which tonight I'm sure will feature a post-game panic room from Chapel Hill. Thank you, lady. Appreciate it. See you in Greensboro.
Thanks, guys.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
The Kobe Bryant.
Yesterday?
Oh, my goodness.
That was.
Let me tell you. You're talking about rocking you to the core and putting things in perspective.
No doubt. No doubt. And everybody that spoke yesterday, from Jimmy Kimmel all the way down.
Michael Jordan.
Vanessa Bryant. I don't even know how.
Awesome. She was so great.
Yep.
Yesterday.
She was great. She was great. Sabrina Ionescu.
Oh.
You do that? No, by the way, I'm going to go
play.
Yeah.
And can she play?
Yeah, she can play. And Diana Taurasi was unbelievable. Shaq was unbelievable. I thought Michael was unbelievable.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
It really was.
And everybody kind of knew that you wanted to share a story, but you also wanted to celebrate and create some humor and have a laugh. And I thought Michael acknowledging the crying Jordan meme was hilarious. And Shaq talking about free throws.
Was awesome.
Yeah.
The whole thing was unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. And what a wonderful show of understanding of the value, not only of what Kobe's impact was, but also what Gianna's was.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just, Gina Auriemma was tremendous.
It was
all great.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was.
It really was.
All right. Last night, you mentioned this at the top. Joanne P. McCallie has done a remarkable job start to finish in terms of just regular season improvement back to the point where we knew Nell Fortner had a rebuild. We knew Haley Gorecki was really good, and she was good last night, by the way. Look at that. But to me, by the way, take them off the bounce, Haley. Haley Gorecki and Duke have just had a remarkable, just kind of ascent in the ACC this year.
And, you know, they beat Florida State, they beat NC State, and they're peaking at the right time. And there's two or three teams, as we pointed out. BC's hot, Georgia Tech's gotten hot at the right time.
Right.
Duke's doing their thing, and Louisville steps up when they had to 2 weeks ago when they had to play NC State on the road, first place at stake. There have been some teams coming down the stretch that I would be very optimistic about them running some deep runs here in the tournament, in my opinion.
Elisa Kanane, 23-12 last night for the Wolfpack in a losing effort. By the way, the halftime ceremony of that game in particular, the Play for K game, every year, the halftime ceremony is worth the value of the event itself because these are cancer survivors by years, and this is a remarkable moment, and the floor is practically full, Pack.
Yep. It's and, not just the floor, it's Kay's floor.
Yeah.
Right? It makes it even cooler.
Yep.
This was the 15th year of the Play for K game, and it's such a great concept. It's a great tribute.
Yep.
And like I said, you're gonna get NC State, North Carolina play tonight, Georgia Tech and Clemson. Yeah, that's a great rivalry. Duke, North Carolina, Duke and Wake Forest, Tobacco Road. Hey, it's a game, man. Yeah. There are things that sometimes should remind you that it's great entertainment for all of us to put back our feet and watch the student athletes put a show on.
Yeah.
And for coaches, it's a livelihood, but for fans, kind of keep it in perspective if you can. Yeah. And stuff like this, that event last night, what happened in L.A. yesterday, the Tiana story, I mean, it really should ground you a little bit where you say, hey, you know what? Life's not so bad. Yeah. Life's pretty good. So let's just keep on grounded and put a smile on it and let's go.
I got a mother-in-law who's 20-plus years as a survivor. That's no question. It hits home there for sure. Real quick, here's my accounting.
Mm.
Like I'll squeeze this in before we go to the break at the top of the hour. I know you did. This is brand new, updated, fresh off the presses last night.
Florida State, Duke, Louisville, makes sense. Virginia, like it. NC State, 5. Oh, you went Notre Dame, 6. I see that.
I did.
So we got the group of 8 there, beginning the infamous glob.
Like that.
Tech, BC, Virginia Tech. Yeah, you know what? That's pretty good. Okay. I like it.
Yeah, so there you go. That's all I did. Just sorted out last night.
All right. I tweaked mine after the ones. We got some face-to-face last night.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, nice.
Pretty similar. I got Clemson at 6, Notre Dame 8. That's probably our flip-flop. Yep. And everything else is pretty much in the neighborhood. Not a whole lot of change there.
Yeah.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.